Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at seventhgeneration.com.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to Trials to Triumphs. I'm Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins, but you can call me ABFJ. This week, my sister, my tea, actress Tiana Paris, talks to me about co-creating with God and understanding the magnitude of our miracles. My conversation with Tiana reminded me that nurturing a God-given dream is a lot like walking through a pregnancy. We have to be expectant. When God gives us an assignment in life, we have to believe and carry the miracle before we see it.
I didn't all the way believe God, but you still gave me the thing I prayed for and what I asked for, and I'm grateful for it. And so I could see it, but I couldn't see it. You see your belly getting bigger, but I don't know what's happening in there for all intents and purposes. And just having to trust that what was going to be on the other side was all of my heart's desires plus more.
Hi, sister. Welcome to the pod.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited.
What are you drinking? I'm drinking some as well.
I'm drinking peppermint tea.
Peppermint tea. Okay. I have black tea right now.
I thought you were going to be like, I have wine. I was like, yes.
No, not today. Not right now. Not right now.
Okay. Well, Tiana, let's start with telling the people how we met. Can you tell the story of how we met, please?
Ashley, I don't know. I'm like, gosh, it's been so long.
Yeah.
How did we meet?
I think it was probably 10, 11 years ago. Definitely over a decade. Yes.
I was like, it's longer than that.
Oh,
no, it's
okay.
Way longer than that. Wait, what year is this? Yes, like.
I've been in LA since 20.
Yes, like, what? Since 20
I came in 2010. We probably met in like
2012. It was 2011.
Or 2011?
It was 11.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's at least 12 years. Okay. Yeah. It was 11 for sure, because you're one of the first people I met when I got there. But, oh, was it at church?
Yes. Okay. Tell the
It was at church.
That's
right?
Where we met. Yes. Yes.
But, like, I don't remember the exact moment, because it's one of those friendships that feels like.
I know.
we just know each other.
I know.
I don't remember the exact moment.
So
do
this
you?
Is what I think happened, because it's the same. I realized in thinking about this, I was like, oh, my gosh. Tiana and I have been friends a very long time. But I think what it was you knew Lena. We both knew Lena. I don't know how you knew Lena, but Lena and I have been friends.
Yeah,
maybe through church.
Like, I met everybody at church, I think.
And I remember
I know how I met Lena. Okay.
So,
I met Lena through Ben, who's also a writer.
Yes.
And so I went to a cookout with Ben and Lena was there. Were you also there?
I was not there.
Okay.
My invitation was lost in the mail.
So was mine. I just showed up.
So Lena Waithe is the master connector, you guys. Like, she is, it's just what she does. And I remember she was like, you got to meet this girl. She's this beautiful actress. Mm-hmm. I think you guys would really hit it off.
she's going to come to church. You got to meet her. And I was like, okay, cool. And I remember we met outside off on La Brea and we hugged and we went into church. And I want to say maybe we all like ate or something after. We probably like got Chipotle because that's all we could afford.
And it was across the street.
And we've just been friends ever since. But I think it actually, when I was thinking about it, I was like, how beautiful. Like, we met at church. We did.
We did meet at church. That part I definitely remember. And then after that, it's just like, well, that's the boo. I don't actually know. Just people come into your life and they just fit so perfectly.
And they stay sometimes.
I know.
But I'm happy you stay.
Whatever. I am too. And we've had so much life since
Tiana,
then. Tiana. It's like longer than a decade.
Oh, the life that we have lived.
But anyway, thank you.
Yes, thank you, God. And I just want to say, like, I love you and I'm so grateful that you're in my life and I'm so proud of you. And it's been so amazing, like, growing up together, because that's what I would call it. We've been growing up together.
Yes, ma'am. I love you too. Thank you for and your so light, for here. Your energy. And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
All right, T, let's start at the beginning. What did Hopkins, South Carolina, give you?
Oh my gosh. It gave me a wonderful childhood. And that's, I mean, like climbing trees, having a yard, my siblings, amazing people there, friends, folk I still keep in touch with and love. It gave me character and it gave me, it definitely gave me a sense of, because there's not much there, it instilled in me this sense of longing to see what else was in the world. I would say I got all of that from Hopkins. It was wonderful. Between Hopkins and Manning, South Carolina, which is where my grandparents lived, and I spent a lot of summers there. There's just, what you do is you use your imagination, you play with friends, you hang out, outside, climbing trees in Manning, picking pecans up off the ground, feeding the chickens. Like, that's a part of my childhood, a fond part as well.
I love that. You're a true Southern girl.
You know what, Ash? I say I'm a country girl. Because
there's a difference
between Southern and country.
All right, tell us the difference. How do you describe it?
You're probably Southern. I think you're Southern. You're Southern. Ashley, you're not country.
I may be from below the Mason-Dixon line, but I am not a Southern girl. Although Daryl tells me all the time I am. He's like, you're Southern. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm from...
Okay, I can go. I will give you that. But if you were claiming to be Southern or country, you would be Southern.
1,000%.
You would not be country.
You're right.
Okay. But I will also give you, you ain't there one. we can take that. But I think Southern, there's like manners and culture and a tradition and a way in which you do things. Like, I have girlfriends who are very Southern. It's easy to see. It's a little harder for me to articulate. Country, me, you're okay climbing trees, being a little tomboy, jumping up in it. Like, we feeding the chickens, we playing with the pigs, like, we outside playing and hiding in the woods for fun.
Yes.
That's country. And that is what I am. I'm more country than Southern, for sure. So yeah.
Okay.
Just so we have.
I get
the
that. That was a good.
I don't
that
need
was
my
a good
family
distinction.
Coming for me like, you ain't Southern. But yeah,
got it.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
Okay, I want to talk about your mom, who I love and is a beautiful... You guys, her mom is... Y'all think Tiana is pretty, she get it from her mama, for real. Like Victoria Monet said, okay? So I want you to share with us maybe the greatest lesson your mom ever taught you, or maybe one of your favorite memories with your mom.
Ooh.
Or both.
You're going to have me on here crying. One of the greatest lessons. It's so interesting because had we had this conversation 2 years ago, before I myself became a mom, I think my answer would be very different. Mm-hmm. But now, having recently had a child and my mom is here helping with said child, thank you, God, things are put, I see things a lot differently. I see the sacrifices she's made, the patience she's had, the love she's given in such a deeper, more selfless way. I see it as more selfless and deep than I ever did before. I think there's this privilege and what's the right word? This thing that comes with where we expect our parents to just love us, you know, like you're just going to do that. You're just going to do things for us. And that's not the case for everyone. But I have been blessed with an amazing mom and a dad and who are very active. And that is actually my stepdad who has raised me, but I consider him my dad for all intents and purposes, because he is. But so when you have that love and support in the house, just readily available, sometimes you take it for granted. And so the greatest lesson I've learned from my mom at this point is the selflessness, the despite my little nasty attitude sometimes, or just being a brat or whatever it is at that moment, she still loved me. She's still been patient with me. She's still shown up for me. And I pray that I can do the same for her and that she can feel that appreciation and love given back, because it is a lot to parent. It is a lot. And I'm just really, really, really grateful for her. And also I think the greatest, one of the other greatest things I've learned from her is, this is the saying she said. She was like, well, if you're going to do it, you better do it right. You better be good at it. And that was throughout my entire childhood. Oh, you want to play softball? Well, if you're going to do it, you better do it good. Like, that means go practice, get out my face, go do what you need to do. When I told her I wanted to be an actor, well, okay, if you won't do it, you better do it good. What school you supposed to go to? Like, that's just been the attitude. Like, anything is possible. You better commit to it. You better put some effort into it, because you ain't going to waste our money. You ain't going to waste my time. That's essentially the heart of it, which I can appreciate. I think about that, and that rings in my head even now to this day as an adult. If I'm gonna do it, I guess I better do it right.
Yeah.
Put some effort and heart into this.
Yeah. But there's love in that too. Like, there's love in your parents having a standard of excellence for you. You know what I mean? Like, they created you to be excellent. And I think that that requirement that our parents, that some of our parents have of us, is a beautiful thing and is a large part in why we're successful. You know what I mean? Like, I really believe that.
And it was like this, well, you better be good at it, but I never felt the pressure to not be good at it. The key was, I just better try. You better try. You better put forth some effort. And that was the standard. It was like, if you give it all you got and you ain't no good, that's okay. That's all right. We'll try something different, but you're going to give it all you got, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the thing that they held me to. You're going to try real hard. Mm-hmm. So,
cause I think, you know, that's a good distinction, because I think that excellence is less about the outcome and more about the effort that you're doing, that you're putting forth, right? It's not about if you win the award, if you get the part, if you get the job, it's about, did you commit to trying to?
Did you commit to trying?
That is someone being excellent. Yeah.
Who were you while you were trying? Mm. Were you kind to people? Did you help others?
Did you have integrity?
Did you have integrity? Those are all the things I have learned in the different things I've tried to do in life. If that's like the school pageant, if that's auditioning for the drama club, whatever it is, it was like, okay, you're going to try and you're going to do your best, whatever that is for you. And the important thing is, what are you learning along that journey? Who are you to others and to yourself along this journey? I think that's a good lesson, because, oh my gosh, how many times through life are we blessed to be able to try and fail? And especially in this industry, we try and fail times daily, but it is a blessing. And so learning how to navigate that, okay, I'm going to try my best, whatever that is. And especially in this industry where, like, you know, we could get told no 3 times in a day, or you're not good enough, or we don't like you, whatever, or more. What that looks like to pick myself up and move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does it look like? Like, what has that looked like for you? Has it always been easy for you to pick yourself up and move on? Have you created tools to help you navigate it easier?
So no, it has not always been easy. But I do think I've been able to handle rejection well, even though it's not easy. Does that make sense?
I hope
that makes sense. I think because I understand that there's greatness in everyone. And truly what God has for me is for me, that has allowed me to, when something doesn't go the way I want it to go, doesn't happen how I want it to happen, I'm able to lean into that and really just let go. Say, okay, God, I guess this is not what you wanted for me, even though it's what I saw for myself. And I'm going to trust that your plans are greater than anything I could imagine. And really just let it go. I have just let it go. And it might not all the time be healthy. I think sometimes in an effort of self-preservation, I compartmentalize and just shut things off. Even though there's still some level of celebration or acknowledgement that could happen in there, but because it's not what I imagined it to be, I'm like, oh, whatever, we just move on. Like, I don't even want to deal with that. I don't want to think about that because it's not going how I thought it should go. So, you know, and there are people in my life that are reminding me, well, it didn't go how you think it should go, how you thought it should, but there's still things to celebrate here, and we can celebrate it amongst ourselves. We can be excited for the thing you did accomplish that did go how you wanted it to go. And we could just start there and be present in that. And so that's a constant reminder for me as well. That, like you said, it's not the end of what I thought it should be, but what was the journey to get there, and celebrating and acknowledging
that.
The sacrifice, the commitment that we all gave so that, you know, I could accomplish a particular dream or goal. And being present for that part as well.
Yeah, I think it's not. And, you know, I think I had to start, I had to do exactly what you said, which is like understand that like what's for me can't miss me, but also celebrate what I can't see. Like, get excited for what I can't see, but knowing that it's it's on its way to me, but it's like being expectant, you know? That's why they say, you know, be pregnant with possibility. Like, you know, you've been pregnant, you know, when you are creating this child, it is a long process. And you don't know what this baby is going to look like, what they're going to be like, what, you don't know anything, but all you know is that this is your purpose at the moment. So if mothers can do that in creating and bringing all of these wonderful children to the world, then we have to believe that we can do that with the gifts that God gave us too. It just sometimes takes time, you know?
It does take time.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because even while I was pregnant, this is going to sound so weird, but even while I was pregnant, I was always like, it's really a baby in here. Ashley, I kid you not, the entire pregnancy, and I felt all the things. I felt the baby move, kick. I had the sonograms. And a part of me would be like, this is a stock photo. They just gave me a stock photo.
Tiana.
Like, I'm not joking. There was this part that's like, how could I create something so amazing? How could I, how could God let me carry and nurture and nurse this miracle? I didn't believe it, Ashley. I'm not even joking. When the baby was born, I was in shock, and I literally looked at the kid. I said, a baby. Like, I was
you said that? Wow.
I said, a baby. Like, oh my God, it really was a baby. Like, I was like, oh my God. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing, because if anybody told me this, I'd be like, okay, girl, you carried a child for 9-10 months, and there was a big part of you that's like, I don't know, like, just, is it real? And it's such a huge, miraculous honor and privilege of a thing to be able to do. So I do think it's understandable to not be able to fully wrap your mind around the entire process. But girl, I don't know. Now I'm looking at myself like, really, girl, really? Because but then once she was here, it's this, I don't know, it's like this gratitude and this feeling of, well, I didn't all the way believe God, but you still gave me the thing I prayed for and what I asked for, and I'm grateful for it. And so I could see it, but I couldn't see it. You see your belly getting bigger, but I don't know what's happening in there for all intents and purposes. And just having to trust that what was going to be on the other side was all of my heart's desires plus more. Like, I couldn't even know to ask for these things. And also, like, the most stressful 0 out of 10 time ever for the first 3 months. Let's be clear. 0 out of 10, do not recommend that part. But also, you know, just this great gift that I still am trying to process how I didn't fully believe. You know what I mean? I don't know. So it's a weird, I shouldn't say it's weird. It's a part of my journey that I'm still trying to process and understand. Like, what was that? Why were you? Yeah, I just think it's the magnitude of the miracle.
It's
really
the magnitude of the miracle. Wow. The magnitude of the miracle. No, because this whole, I'm like getting teary-eyed because just the way you're describing it, it makes so much sense, Tiana. That it's, you're right, it's not weird. It actually makes a lot of sense that even when your daughter came out, you were like, a baby?
Baby? What? How did this get here? Even though you're pushing for 9-10 hours, whatever it is, or longer for some women. But for me, yeah, like 7-8 hours, you're like, how did this get here? It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. But it's also a baby.
It's also she's mine. It's also I gotta take care of her. It's also, whoa, I I created this human. But I think too, what it sounds like you were feeling was in your life, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like it was a time in your life when you really felt the power and the like what truly collaborating with God felt like. It's a true co-collaboration. Because God is so omnipotent and so amazing, it felt like you're doing this with me? Like we're doing this? Like I'm blessed with having this
you
honor.
You trusted me?
Yes, right. You trusted me. Yeah, that's what I kind of took from that. And he's like, yeah, do you want to know what else I have in store? Look at what we did. Let's do some other stuff together. You know, this is why you're here. This is part of your purpose.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
And so now that you're on, maybe you're not all the way on the other side of it, but now at least that you have that perspective, you can at least say everything you just said to me right now.
Right.
What are you taking from that experience through the rest of your life?
Ash, really giving myself the grace to start over every day. Like sometimes you're like, oh man, I didn't do this right. Like every night, my husband calls it the baby hour, where I will lay in the bed and just think about the day and my kid, like literally look at pictures. And if I didn't take pictures or video that day, I'm like, dang, I didn't take pictures of her. Meanwhile, I'm with her all day. But, and then sometimes I'm just like, man, I didn't do this right. Or, oh, I feel guilty about, oh, I didn't go outside with her today or whatever it is. And giving myself the grace to start over the next day, to start fresh. Because when I go to wake her up, she pops up like, hey, like she doesn't even remember that, okay, mommy didn't cut the food right or whatever. That doesn't even matter to her, I hope. It doesn't feel like it does. But she gives me the grace to start over every day and making sure I give myself the opportunity to just try again, and not hold my shortcomings, my own shortcomings, or what I feel are shortcomings over my head, but to really just give myself the grace to try again.
A new day.
The blessing of a new day. Amen. The blessing of a new day and embracing that day. Not being upset about what happened the day before or how I didn't do something how I wanted to, et cetera. And also, I'm kind of type A. I'm also a Virgo. So there's just a lot of letting go I have to do. Like, you know what? I'm not washing that today.
Listen.
Those clothes are just, and even though that's my personality, even before the baby, I can't lie, like, those clothes would just be there. That suitcase not getting unpacked for another 2 weeks. but I will take the clothes out and wash them. But the rest of that stuff just gonna stay in the suitcase for the next week or two until I feel like it. But giving myself the grace to do that in other areas of my life. Like, well, it ain't hurt nobody. It'll be all right. You can stay there until I got the energy.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. Giving yourself more grace. Because guess who's giving it to you? Your daughter. She gives you grace every day.
She does.
You know?
She does. And God. Yeah.
Yeah. And God. But like, I think she's like the physical manifestation of that every morning. You know what I mean? Like, that's really beautiful. That's really beautiful to you.
That's where it's like this weird thing where you'd be like, oh, I can't wait for you to go to bed because I'm so tired. Like, go take a nap. Go on to sleep. And then I miss her incredibly when she's down. And it's just, this is actually so interesting because it's also this thing I'm trying to learn in life and with work. Like, I'm having this conversation with other friends and also who are artists and in the industry and about, you know, we ask for these things, we pray for these things, whatever that is for you. And you go through the journey, and when you get there or you're working towards getting to a thing, most of the time it don't look like what we wanted, what we thought it would look like.
Yeah.
It's like something or multiple things that you didn't account for flavor your experience.
Yes.
And so I'm at a place in life where I think I'm realizing that that's just life. Like, that's always going to happen. And I might be mad late realizing this, okay? But I think it's really starting to set in. And so, as we were saying before, like, what are some of the things I've learned thus far from my mom, et cetera? I think I'm really starting to own and wanting to look deeper into when I am in these experiences that I have prayed for, like motherhood or like getting a job you really wanted, whatever that is, feels horrible. Mm-hmm. Like something's not going right, or it doesn't look like what I wanted to. Certain people got bad attitudes. I just don't want to be around them. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that's flavoring this experience, how do I remember that this isn't going to last forever? Like, this is a moment in time, and it's okay to feel how I feel. Like, I don't want to be around you, or this and that, or y'all get on my nerves, or this isn't how it should be or how I wanted it to be, whatever that is, and whatever your job or goal or desire is or life. And yet finding a way to enjoy it. Enjoy the fact that it's not exactly what you asked for. I want to find a way to that when I look back on that experience, I'm not like, oh God, just forget about it. You know what I mean? I want to look back and say, woo, that was rough. But you know what? We have fun doing X, Y, and Z, where the whole experience doesn't become tainted because my expectations weren't met, or because life be life in, or people be people in. and you know what I mean? Like, I want to work on that, the next part of my journey is. It's like, okay, when it does get rough, how do I find joy in the small things or in the big things, whatever it is? And, be able to walk away from an experience like, you know what, that was rough, that was weird, whatever, but I had a good time.
Yeah,
I figured it out.
I think it's about, you know, because I'm with you 1,000%. And I think I've had to have the same conversation with myself and friends, and the answer for me is just I have to strengthen my gratitude practice. Whenever I feel that way, it means that I'm not deep enough in gratitude, because nothing's ever all bad. Nothing is ever all bad. And sometimes it's easier to see. Other times it's like you're sitting there like, I can't write down one single thing that is positive about this. Like, you sitting there for days, like, I don't know.
I'm still looking.
I'm looking, but there. And so, you know, in those moments when whether it's at a job or in a situation at home or with family or with friends or whatever, and you are feeling like it's starting to taint your total experience, or you're starting to feel it's starting to affect your natural disposition and like posture toward life, like that's when you know you have to make a shift, right? Like when you're becoming a little hardened, you're a little snappier, you're not as, you're a little bit more attitudinal, like you know when that happens. I force myself to write something down I'm grateful for. And sometimes it's like, you know, my lipstick didn't run out today. I'm breathing. I, you know what? Like I pulled up in my parking spot right on time, or like whatever it is. Like it's sometimes
right in front of the store.
Sometimes they're big things. And I think what I found is that when I strengthen my gratitude practice, there's big things that I missed. So what I mean by that is that there's things that were actually really beautiful, really worthy of really being celebratory in my gratitude for it, that just went over my head, that I didn't sit in, that I didn't really appreciate. And and I feel like that's gotten me much closer to God. It's gotten me closer to like being in like a more balanced place in my life. But it's all gratitude. Everything goes back to gratitude for me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That's the goal. That's what I'm working on strengthening next. I feel like I do have a great sense of gratitude. I think I lean into other people's energy. I let other people's energy.
Ditto.
Because we're artists, we're open. You absorb so that
empaths,
you can
give
back. Yeah. And I have to learn to protect that more. And really, like you said, go back vertical up with God, like shut it off, because you don't get access to this if this is how you are going to move and behave. You don't get access to my energy in the same way. And I think sometimes I catch that a little too late. And then I'm already deep, like, oh man, this isn't great. Like this is weird. Like, whatever. And so I need to catch it sooner and shut it down sooner. And like you said, go back up vertically to God. And what am I grateful for? What can I do to resist, reflect, deny this energy or whatever it is that's happening around me that I don't want, that has no place or serves no purpose in my life. So
in my opinion, you've always had really strong and solid boundaries created for yourself. And I'm wondering, how did you go about creating those for yourself? And was it always easy?
I would say that came from my mama. I have a very close relationship with her and have been able to talk to her since forever, always, about very personal things, life, puberty, all the things in very raw, explicit manner. And she's always been a listening ear, never judged, never got in trouble for saying something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I got really sage advice and wisdom from very young on very, you know, some very pedestrian things, but also some very serious things. My mom has always just been very open, honest, and frank with me. And so I think I just have heard great advice for a long time, and she's been able to tell me, well, that's not okay. Do you see how this is affecting you, or this, that, and that? And so that has helped me establish boundaries and expectations and what is okay and isn't okay to have in my orbit, in my space. So I think that comes from my mom. And it was at a certain point, you know, friends will be like, oh, why don't you call your mom so we can talk on three-way and she can, you know, she can tell me some stuff too.
Because
honestly, she's just that person who has great advice and who can see things from a very 360 point of view and just be very honest and unbiased. So I definitely think that comes from her. Mm. So thank you, Mama.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think there are some areas in my life where it's very obvious for me and very easy for me to establish boundaries. But then there's those places that kind of get missed. And I think those more emotional for me, where it's like, oh man, I let them say something to me and that actually hurt my feelings. You know what I mean? I think that's where it's not so strong.
Got it. I want to talk about your dad. What's the greatest lesson he's taught you?
So let me just start by saying, you know this, I think, but the man I call dad is like my stepdad, but he has raised me. He has been the only father figure I have known for the majority of my life. And that man came in, and I have two stepbrothers. They're my brothers, but his sons. And so we were like a little Brady Bunch when I was like 4 or 5. But he has loved me as if I have been his own child my entire life. When I even have to say stepdad for other people's clarity, it bothers me. And I don't like to say it, but what I do know is that there is beauty in saying it, because I love that this man loves me so much and has poured so much into me, and I'm not even his blood. Mm. Yeah. Like, for a man to step up and be there at all times through everything, he's just been the most amazing father I could have ever dreamed of, hoped for. And I'm so grateful for him. He's taught me so much. I don't even know, but mostly I love his heart. I love his selflessness.
He taught. I mean, I feel like the lesson is love, is unconditional love and true love, and it's not contingent on blood. It has nothing to do with it. So I like that you say that there is power in saying that he's your stepfather.
Yeah, it really is. Because I wouldn't, everything he's given me as a young woman, like I think of who I would have been had he not been there. And my heart aches for young women and young men who grow up without a dad. And that was my story until he came along and changed that and changed the scope of where my life could go, what I could do, because having that male presence, that male love in the home, I do believe makes a difference. And to my mom for picking somebody who could love me like that and love her in the way that she needed to be loved. And they're no longer together. But we're talking about who he is as a dad. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so, so grateful. So much so, like my husband, when he met my dad, he thanked him. He was like, I really want to thank you for who you are and what you've been to, Tiana, because it's very clear in how it was to date and court me, in comparison to past experiences he had had, where, you know, it's like, it means something. And I know I'm so grateful. And I'm just so thankful to have a loving male presence in the home. There's a protection there. There's security there. There's love there. There's guidance. And I feel like I got all of that times a million in that man, and in my mom. Like, I know I am blessed. And so, definitely.
Blessings. It's a big blessing.
It's like so full that I'm just like, if I could shout it from the rooftop, I would. Just like the amount of gratitude I have for both of my parents. And again, now becoming a parent, it has made it even so much bigger. And I can't believe how much they sacrificed and gave and just kept pouring into all of us, me and my siblings. I'm like, how did y'all do that? How?
How?
But how? They did. But they did. Yeah.
Sis, what has been your takeaway from our conversation today?
I think my takeaway is the thing we were talking about, just finding the joy and gratitude in the journey and really, really owning that. Because sometimes we get caught up in the destination and the expectations, and I really want to let that go and be present and full of gratitude. And, you know, disappointment, whatever, other people's energy can still be there. But what I want to be greater is my gratitude.
It's good. My takeaway is to try my best to believe in the miracles that God is performing in my life. Yeah, that really got me, Tiana. Like that metaphor, although it wasn't really, it was a metaphor, but it was also like really happening to you.
It's like real life, right? But let it use us, God. Let
yes, but like that really got me. Like I want to believe the miracle when I'm in the midst of it. That's my takeaway. Thank you, sister.
That's beautiful. I need to use that too. Like, believe in it. Oh, believe in it.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to believe that anything God's doing in my life is too big. I want to have the posture of like, of course God's doing this in my life. Yeah. Of course you picked me for a time such as this. Of course my body can create a human in this way and it'd be a wonderful experience. Of course I can do it. Yeah, that's, and you literally, this conversation has helped me be more conscious of attaining that posture. So I thank you, my sister.
Amen. I thank you. Thank you for this. This has been lovely.
Yes, I love you, sis. I honor you. I'm so proud of you. And you're like, you're just one of my forever friends. And I'm just so happy we did this.
Thank you. Yay. I feel like we just had a sister chat on the line for everybody. But like, God, I hope I ain't say nothing crazy.
That's the vibe. Just over here chatting to Ashley. No, that's the vibe.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by LWC Studios for OWN. The show's executive producer is Juleka Lantigua. Our managing producer is Fatima Elswifi. Shanice Tyndall is our lead producer. Associate producer is Mona Hassan. Jordan Thompson is our marketing coordinator. This episode was mixed by Trin Lightburn. Michelle Baker is our video editor. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, and we hope you did, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and review wherever you listen to your podcast to ensure you hear the next one.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.